Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
All I wanted was to be the big shot for once. Take my remote.
Nice. That was a good choice for today's episode, which is going to be about a topic we have been asked about several times.
Yeah.
More so recently.
Yes. And that topic is Apple TV.
Yes. And the reason why I think it's been more interesting recently than it used to be in the past was, I mean, this thing's been around for
four years
now, yeah. And it didn't really, I mean, it's always been a hobbyist's kind of device.
Steve Jobs has even kind of referred to it as sort of a hobby.
Yeah, that's true. So, I think it's fair to say we're not really going to focus on the Apple TV, but that's not going to be the only type of device like it we're going to talk about, because Jonathan and I agreed that the functionality of the current generation of Apple TV is one of really several different reasonably similar devices.
Right.
But Apple TV started out as, let's see, what's the best way to put it? It's not really a DVR.
Nope.
And it's not really it doesn't play DVDs.
Nope.
It doesn't record stuff.
Nope.
But it will let you... it will let you download and play shows on your TV.
Well, technically, the first one would let you download and play shows on your TV. The current one allows you to play shows on your TV that you've downloaded to a computer.
Yes.
But and we'll get into that.
Yeah, the first generation, actually the first couple generations of the Apple TV were fairly large devices. Yep. They were really intended to be used with the iTunes store.
Yeah, it's a set-top box. Mm-hmm. So it's similar to things like, you know, you think of your VCR, if you have an ancient technology in your home.
And I do.
Or DVD player or Blu-ray player or, heaven help you, your HD DVD player.
Or cable box.
Cable box. Yeah, these are all set-top boxes. I mean, we're any home theater enthusiast is very familiar with this kind of stuff. It's the
stuff you plug into your TV.
Right, that gives you access to extra content.
Yes.
And Apple TV is kind of it's internet protocol TV device.
Yeah, that's true. But
it's a very specific focused one, right? Like you were saying, it really had a lot to do with the iTunes Store.
Yeah. Yeah, it was specifically, that was one of the things I think that Apple wanted to do when it first started to add video content to the Apple Store, the iTunes Store, because you could watch those shows on your computer.
Right.
But I think that Apple was smart in realizing that not everyone wants to do that, or at least not all of the time.
Especially if you want to watch something with a group of people. Most computers, if you have an iMac, then you may have a computer with a screen large enough, so it's like a small TV.
Sure.
But most folks would say, you know, there's all this great content that Apple has access to, but I can't watch it the way I want to, which is on the biggest screen in my house. And for most of us, that's the TV.
Yep. And, yeah, I mean, they were offering rentals and even shows and movies that you could buy and download to your computer. But the question is, how do you get that to your TV? Like, I want to watch this, and I want to watch it on my TV. And those shows were in HD, 720, not the full 1080. So, I mean, they were good enough to watch on a TV. But how do you do that? You could plug your computer into your TV, but I mean, what a headache. And the Apple TV was, the original Apple TV was intended to facilitate that.
Right. Yeah, because we're still in an era where a lot of people find the idea of hooking a TV or hooking a laptop or any kind of computer to a TV to be intimidating.
Yeah, and the connections are not always, they don't always make sense.
And there's usually some sort of setting you need to put on your computer so that the display shows up properly. And then, you know, depending on the type of computer you have, you may choose one setting and suddenly you don't have a screen on your computer anymore. It's up on the TV, but it's harder to navigate.
Right.
There are a lot of reasons why people have avoided it. And the set-top box approach just takes all that guesswork out. So it makes it much more consumer friendly.
Yes. Now, if this sounds silly to you, you may be techier than a lot of other people. There's a wide range of technical expertise out there, and this device is supposed to make it easier for people who aren't comfortable navigating that or setting up their own Myth TV DVR at home. The original Apple TV faced quite a few limitations. I mean, really, you were stuck with predominantly iTunes content.
Right.
Not that there wasn't, a fair amount of it, but I mean, in the intervening years, we saw a number of other developments, like Netflix offering streaming movies, for example.
Yeah, that was most recently the probably one of the most recent additions to the Apple TV line. That happened back in September 2010. But before that, like you were saying, it was mostly iTunes. You had some YouTube and Flickr accessibility as well.
I'm thank you for saying that, because I wanted to point out that I should have pointed out or that you weren't limited just to video. If you had photos on your computer that you wanted to do, maybe you're having a party in honor of somebody, a wedding shower, for example, and you wanted to show photos of the couple on your TV, you could do that with Apple TV because it would read, you know, your photo library that's on your computer, and you could set up a slideshow or play music from your iTunes thing through your TV. So it wasn't just for video. It's just that, hey, it's your TV. That's what you use it for, right?
Right.
But yeah, and we saw Hulu, the debut of Hulu for computers and other streaming media. The networks, a lot of them offer some content, either clips or even full shows, recent shows. And as this went on, I think Apple said, was going, well, the device works pretty well. A lot of people, actually, the pundits have been declaring Apple TV dead for years. They kept wondering when Apple was going to cut it loose and let go.
Every time there's been another announcement, there's been a prediction that the one thing that will not get an update is Apple TV. And of course, you know, we saw that in 2010 that Apple TV had a major update. So Apple's not ready to pull the plug just yet.
Yeah, and then the newest Apple TV is significantly different. It's considerably smaller.
Yes.
It's meant to stream content.
Yeah, so
now, when it wasn't necessarily before, it had some onboard storage before, but now it's an interface.
Right. Yeah, the original Apple TV had 40 gigabytes of storage space.
Mm-hmm.
So you would actually store media on that device and then watch it directly to your TV. And the big benefit to that is that with something that's stored, that's saved to the device, you don't have to worry about buffering as much. Right?
No,
because
no.
It can stream the content directly to the display.
Yes, and as someone with young kids, I can tell you that buffering is really irritating to young kids.
It's kind of irritating to me too.
I know, but
whenever I watch anything where there's a buffer, I'm like, oh, come on. I want my gratification to be instant, like my oatmeal.
You know, that sounds remarkably like what my kids say, except for the oatmeal and instant gratification.
I'm a
part.
Gen Xer. I never grew up. So at any rate, the 40 gigabyte model was eventually replaced, actually not that long afterward, with a 160 gigabyte model.
Yeah.
So then you had a model that could store even more media. So, you know, that had, because the 40 gigabytes, it sounds like a lot, but if you want to have a lot of movies on there, television shows especially, if you want something that's in high definition,
yeah,
that space gets eaten up pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it did, even the first generations of Apple TV before last year's major update required a 16 by 9 HD form factor and a DVI or HDMI or at least a composite cable.
Yeah, the original ones did. Yeah,
yeah, so that pretty much rules me out because I am still using a standard definition TV at home.
Right, yeah. So in order to watch Apple TV, you had to have an HD TV. You could not, yeah. You couldn't watch it without an HD TV. And there, I remember one of the criticisms I read of Apple TV was that not all the content that you would get from Apple TV really took advantage of that HD TV. So in other words, the content you're watching was not necessarily high definition, even though you were required to have a high definition television to watch it.
That is correct. And I know that, and before people write in and say, well, I have a, you know, standard definition TV and I can watch it. Yes, I know that technically it is possible to use at least the earlier Apple TVs with a standard definition TV, but it wasn't really intended to do that and wouldn't necessarily be the best experience. I have seen people actually make it happen.
In other words, that's not an out-of-the-box thing.
No. And getting to the bridge between the versions, in addition to the content itself, other people started introducing things, and it started becoming more common, as Jonathan and I did a podcast some time ago on building your own DVR.
Yeah.
And as more people did that, some people started making open source software for doing that. And people like Boxy started developing similar devices, the Boxy Box. But even, you know, I have Boxy on my Macintosh at home. And you can stream video content on the computer and listen to Pandora and do all those kinds of things. Jonathan and I can tell you too from CES experience,
mm-hmm,
that people were already experimenting with how are you going to get your, you know, how can you watch YouTube on your plain old regular TV just connected to the internet and, you know, update your widgets and find out what the weather is and look at your photos and do all these things. And I think, you know, with this, Apple saw the writing on the wall that it was time to update the Apple TV and make it a different type of device, which is why now it is what it is. But that's also spawned so many different devices, like the Roku player and the Boxy Box and Homebrew DVRs and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah, so the new one, you know, the old one you could store the media on, like we said. You could also stream media through your computer, from your computer through the Apple TV to your television. So it kind of acted as a middleman in that situation. And you could do both a wired or wireless connection.
Mm-hmm.
The new one is it's got some new features, but it's also a little more limited. It's like a square. I mean, it's like a 4-inch square, although not, I don't think it's quite 4 inches.
If you go to the Apple website,
yeah,
to look at the Apple TV, one of the press photos that they have on the site is somebody holding it in the palm of their hand. It's considerably smaller than the original.
Yep.
It has no fan in it.
Right.
So and it doesn't make any noise.
It's yeah. So some people would say it's underpowered, but really Apple would say no, we don't want to crank the power up for two reasons. One, it's not necessary, because it's a thin interface. And two, if you crank up the power, you generate more heat. And if you mm-hmm. generate more heat, then you need a fan, which means then you have to add more elements to it, which means it has to be larger. So this was a calculated move on Apple's part. And as for connections, it has an Ethernet port, so mm-hmm. you can hardwire it to your home network. It also has Wi-Fi capability, so you don't have to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's got HDMI. So that's yes. that's your output to whatever device you have. It also has optical audio ports.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's designed for newer media. You know, it's designed for high quality, high definition viewing experience, and it's not limited anymore, as Jonathan pointed out earlier, to just iTunes. You have the ability to check out movies and, I mean, rent movies and buy them, movies and TV shows, through iTunes as you were before. But they've added, Netflix to the account. Flickr you can also use with it.
Yep.
And, of course, Apple's Mobile Me.
Yes.
So if you have content there online, you can stream it from the cloud. And YouTube. So it's definitely not an Apple-only device anymore.
Although people would still probably argue, in fact, I have heard this argued as recently as yesterday, that the Apple TV device is really best for people who have kind of the Apple ecosystem going on.
Oh, sure.
So it's like all Apple products, really. Apple's famous for these closed systems where they develop technology that works really well within that closed system, but are not necessarily designed to allow outside influences into that system. For example, with Apple TV, yes, you get access to web to content that's on the web. So, for example, the Netflix streaming stuff, or even the iTunes stuff. You have access to internet content, but you don't have unfettered access. In other words, you're not going to be surfing the web through Apple TV on your television, because that's not what that's designed to do.
No. And it's funny that you would say that about the ecosystem, because, I mean, it's no secret that Apple keeps everything very closed.
Right.
But I think that the idea of the ecosystem and having the products work together is certainly not an Apple-specific thing. I mean, if you look at the way the Google products work together and
sure.
the way Microsoft, Internet Explorer was bundled in, but it worked very well within Windows, works very well within Windows, and Microsoft Office, and they all have the similar look and feel. I think they've all learned from one another. And once they open it up, they realize, people want it open, but if we make it, where everything works together just so, they'll come in and they won't want to leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
it's a balancing act, right?
It's a criticism against Apple, but it's not, that idea is not limited to Apple.
Here's what I'll say about Apple, although in a few minutes, we'll probably end up talking about how this could change too. Apple, I think of them as a pioneer of this ecosystem idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The idea sure. of if you buy our computers and if you buy our personal electronics and if you buy our television streaming solution, then you're going to have the best experience. So you should just buy our stuff.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of their stuff will still work with other systems. For example, mm-hmm. you can use an iPod with an IBM, right?
Yes.
And you can stream content from iTunes to an Apple TV, even if you're not running a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple's less they're less restrictive than some other systems are. Because
yes.
systems I saw at CES, that ecosystem would only work with one company's products.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, like Apple's approach and even Google's approach to some extent, you're going to get the best experience if you go with our stuff, but if you really want to, you can mix it up.
Right, right.
Whereas other companies say, no, our stuff will only work with our stuff, so don't buy anything else because it won't work with our system.
Yeah.
So there's something there. Now, when I said we'll talk about it in a minute, there have been some rumors that as early as this year being 2011,
yes,
that Apple will unveil its own Apple-branded television set.
Really?
Yes.
I actually hadn't heard that.
You hadn't? Okay, so...
It doesn't surprise me, though, because a few years ago, they did buy a screen manufacturer.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been making their own monitors for years.
Yes.
So, you know, they certainly know a lot about the screen technology. They certainly know a lot about video content.
And on their
and
most
manufacturing.
On their most recent shareholder call, they talked about a $4 billion, that's billion with a B, investment in display technology.
Hmm.
That's kind of what set off this rumor. And the rumor was pretty much started by Gene Munster of Piper Jaffray. And he's an analyst who...
Industry analyst, yeah.
Yeah, who said that it appears that Apple is positioning itself to unveil a big new product, and that his suggestion is I'll quote directly, "We see potential for Apple to offer best-in-class software and hardware and charge a premium, and that the television was the next natural step." Now, if that were the case, Apple would be following suit with some of these other companies I was talking about, where you have a full ecosystem where... you are highly encouraged to stay within the brand in order to fill out that ecosystem. So we're talking about, you know, you have the same brand, television, computer, portable devices. So it makes sense from that standpoint. I don't know how confident I would be in this particular prediction.
Yeah, I don't know. But there are a lot of predictions, if you follow tech as we do, and a lot of you do, there are a lot of predictions that are completely off the wall. And I would say that although I don't necessarily believe it will happen, that's not so off the wall. That's within the realm of possibility. And
it's not like predicting Apple would come out with some sort of like tablet device or something.
Okay, so
yeah,
there is also a rumor going around that Apple may be looking at a way to use the Apple TV as a game device of some type.
Right.
Maybe more like OnLive, where you can, it isn't actually a game console itself, but it will basically be, I guess, what would you call it? A network gateway. You can use it to play games online, and it would serve as the device that would allow you to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of, again, sort of cloud-based gaming. Where the games are running on a back end, and the Apple TV would just act as a thin client to allow you to access it.
Mm-hmm.
This comes out of a report from Engadget.
And Ross Miller.
And Miller said that a person who was working with the iOS 4.3 beta release, that's the
operating system
that Apple TV uses as well as other devices. I think iPad's iOS 4, right? And
yes.
The iPhone 4, too, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So the iOS 4.3 beta release, according to some unnamed snooper, there are elements of code in there that hint to some sort of online gaming experience. So this has led people to suggest that we could see anything from Angry Birds hitting televisions. So, again, we talked about...
I'm sorry. When you said that, I was thinking of some...
Actual Angry Birds,
hitting televisions.
If you've ever been in a house with a ticked-off cockatoo. but no. The game Angry Birds.
Yes.
There's been talk about something just as simple as that, where we're talking about, like, casual games.
Yeah.
There's that possibility. And then there are other possibilities that say, well, you know, the Apple TV, one of the other things it has in it is a Bluetooth receiver, so transceiver. So you could have a Bluetooth controller, and with the right firmware, you just use the controller and you could play video games through your Apple TV.
Yeah.
Now, the Apple TV, the current one, you know, we talked about the first two having 40 gigabytes and then 160 gigabytes of storage. The current one is much more limited. It only has 8 gigabytes because it's meant as a streaming device, not as a storage device.
Mm-hmm.
So that suggests the whole cloud-based system for gaming, because if you were to download a game, you would only be able to download a few before you filled up that 8 gigabytes. 8 gigabytes still sounds like a lot to me, because I grew up in an era where a single gigabyte of storage was unthinkable.
I know.
When I had my computers.
I know. Yeah.
But today's world, you look at some of the more advanced games, and a gigabyte is not even near enough to hold the entire game.
Yeah, yeah. And the new, speaking of streaming, the new Apple TV has the ability to work with an iPod Touch or iPad or iPhone to stream via AirPlay from that device. So if you have movies or shows that you have downloaded to your other iOS device, you can select AirPlay and send it to your Apple TV and then watch it on your actual TV instead, which is a pretty neat feature as well. And really, this seems to be, while there are some similarities in this ecosystem from the others, Apple is kind of different in that. I mean, they are serving as the content provider and, you know, the hardware provider as well. Like Google TV or the Boxy Box or, you know, Roku and some of the others, they're not serving as a gateway for content. They partner with Netflix, for example,
right, right,
to get you your content where you sign up. It's like, we'll give you the hardware and software, and then you guys go get your stuff from Hulu Plus or Netflix or somebody else. And Apple seems to have its fingers in, you know, both pies, if you will.
Yeah, we should also mention that kind of like the Roku and other devices of this nature, Apple TV has a single purchase price. It's not like a subscription-based thing.
That's true. The Apple TV itself is not, you're not buying content from Apple.
Right. Well, you can, but you don't have to. Right?
Right. Not on a regular basis. Like, if you were going to buy a subscription, you'd buy a Netflix subscription. You wouldn't buy as of right now. Now,
right.
There's that other rumor that has been going around about that big data center that Apple is building in North Carolina. Will that be streaming iTunes? Will that be streaming video?
Right.
Maybe it is, but we'll have to find out
so
later.
The current Apple TV costs $99.
Yes.
And for that purchase price, you have the ability to stream anything that's already on your computer in iTunes,
mm-hmm.
anything in iTunes, I should say, to the Apple TV and watch it on television. So if you already have, let's say that you're an Apple customer through iTunes Store and you've purchased a season or two of your favorite television show, then as soon as you get an Apple TV, you can just stream that information to the Apple TV and watch it on your television.
That's true.
Then you could also, if you're a Netflix subscriber and you have Netflix Instant, you could watch Netflix Instant through your Apple TV on your television.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of similar, like I said, to Roku. Roku produces a set-top box, actually a series of set-top boxes. There are different ones depending upon, you know, how high definition you want your content to be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with Roku, it's you purchase your machine and you're done, but then you have to subscribe to whatever content providers are available if you want to actually get content on your Roku.
Right.
So if you are a Netflix Instant subscriber, you get that access through Roku. But there's some stuff that's free once you purchase a Roku. Like there's some channels that are for podcasts, and there's a Pandora station channel. Those sort of things you can get for free. You don't have to pay a subscription to. But then again, you know, that content is stuff that you wouldn't necessarily feel the need to watch on TV in most cases. It's something that you might be more used to consuming in a portable format, like an MP3 player or mm-hmm. a smartphone.
Yeah.
So, the compelling stuff you got to pay for. So, in a way, Apple TV's got a leg up on that if you've already purchased content.
Right, right.
Through iTunes, again. Because, again, we have to be very specific. If you bought it through some other method, you may not be able to stream it to your Apple TV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that wall will come down. Again, as we've mentioned, you know, Apple is usually sort of resistant to that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, it does make me wonder, too, with this, with the change in Apple TV that came in late 2010, or I should say, I guess, mid to late 2010, if that will change the way Google TV functions in the future as well, and whether Google will get into, you know, offering stuff for rent themselves. You know, they certainly would be probably the top competitor, I would guess, in terms of marketing muscle. And, you know, they do have partnerships with Sony and a number of other manufacturers as well, to provide the equipment, the actual hardware itself. So, you know, it's interesting to note that. And I'm curious, too, to see whether or not they will get onto other boxes. I mean, you know, people like Nintendo with the Wii.
Yeah.
All three of the major gaming consoles offer Netflix Instant now. So there are opportunities there to have some convergence with somebody, and it's not likely to be Apple. If it's, you know, if Apple's going to do anything, it's probably going to be some version of the Apple TV, or, you know, some fork in the road for that product. But, you know, it may be very much like a, you know, the Android versus iOS thing, where, you know, Google's got partnerships with half a dozen or more manufacturers that make variations on the product, and they find some way to sell the content. And plus, you know, you can't count Microsoft out, you know, with the Xbox 360 and its functionality.
Yeah, they get some of the biggest innovations in Microsoft seem to come out of that particular department.
Yeah. So, you know, there are certainly people competing with it, and other, you know, smaller players like Roku and Boxy. So,
yeah.
It's good stuff. It's provided a lot of avenues for us to get content in different places, you know, on our portable devices, on our computers, and our TV, and share it between.
Yeah, and we're seeing the market move more and more toward what the consumer has been saying that is the most desired outcome, which is to be able to consume content wherever that person is and whenever that person wants, mm-hmm. on whatever form factor that person currently has.
Yeah.
So that's again, back to the whole ecosystem thing. It's that idea of, you know, I want to be able to watch my favorite show on my smartphone while I'm on the train, or on a tablet computer, or when I'm at my desk, I want to be able to pop up and, you know, I was watching this one episode of my favorite show, and I've got 10 minutes of time left in my lunch break. I'm going to watch another 10 minutes exactly where I left off when I was
right.
at home, that kind of thing. So we're moving closer and closer to that ideal, and this could be Apple's way of sort of approaching that, although it is, again, since it's Apple, it's their own persnickety way. and I was going to mention a couple of drawbacks, or not maybe not drawbacks, but limitations to the Apple TV system.
Yeah.
One of which you already mentioned, which is that it is not a video recorder.
No.
So you can't use it to capture content that you're getting on your television and then view it later. It's not a DVR of any type, so you can't do that. And also, if you rent a show on Apple TV, if you're using the Apple TV interface to rent a show, you can only watch that on Apple TV.
Right.
But if you were to do the same thing through the iTunes store, you'd be able to access that show on whichever devices are hooked up through your iTunes. So if you had, you know, an iPhone or an iPod, you would be able to watch the show that way. You know, you just synchronize your device to your computer and you'd be able to access that information. Or you could stream it to the Apple TV and watch it on television. Whereas if you just went through the TV system, you'd be stuck with TV. You wouldn't be able to watch it on your iPod or anything like that.
Right, right.
So I'm sure that we'll probably see I would imagine we'd see that change within the next generation of Apple TV, assuming that Apple continues to support it. Now, if Apple actually does build a true television, which I still am a little skeptical about.
I think it's fair to be skeptical of that.
But if they were to do it, I would imagine that a lot of the capabilities that are in the Apple TV set-top box would be built directly into the television system, so that you would have that iTunes connectivity. I mean, I can't imagine Apple building a product like that and not including some sort of iTunes connectivity in it.
No, I'm sure they would. And I think it's funny because, you know, for years, the Apple TV, the original Apple TVs were kind of bashed as something like, well, it's kind of cool, but I mean, who's going to buy this thing? And the new version of the Apple TV announced in 2010 and released in 2010 got much more critical acclaim. But I think it's not so much that really isn't really as much about Apple as it is about where the market is.
Yeah.
And the functionality is more in line now with what the market is interested in having. And I think they said,
yeah,
well, now they're kind of doing it right. They're doing what we want them to do. So,
yeah, I think Apple TV was definitely ahead of the curve. It came out before the set-top box thing had really started to take off. Like, you had the early adopters who were looking into it, although true early adopters had just hooked up their computers to the television in the first place.
Sure.
But you had early adopters who were interested in this internet streaming device that would allow you to access this content on a television. But apart from those early adopters, it just wasn't – there was really no strong market for it. So when Apple TV first came out, a lot of folks just didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
And now that things like Roku and Boxy, especially things like Roku and the gaming consoles like you mentioned, now that those have incorporated some of these features into them, people are more aware of them, and a lot of people say, hey, you know, I want to be able to have access to that stuff. And so the Apple TV is a much more viable product now, I think, than when it first debuted.
Yeah, yeah, and it's much more of a competitor to the other products that are out there and the others, and vice versa. So I think they will sort of mutually advance and add more features that more people are interested in.
Now watch, tomorrow we're going to hear an announcement from Apple that they're no longer carrying the Apple TV after we've done this full episode about it.
Probably.
Because the way we roll.
So go back and edit this in your head to say was and were.
Yeah, Apple TV was this device that did do these things. I don't imagine that will happen, but you it is easy to say that Apple TV, out of the line of products that Apple produces, tends to be the one that gets the least amount of attention directed toward it normally.
Yeah.
Once in a while, they'll do an event like the September 2010 thing where they spend some time on Apple TV. But more often than not, it just feels like, oh, we also do this.
Hmm. You said September, right?
Yeah.
Apple's known for doing the certain announcements at certain times. Like the iPhone announcement is usually in the early summer, like June.
Yes.
I've heard that there is a big announcement coming for this fall. And some people said it's the iPad 3, which is funny because the iPad 2 isn't out. Maybe it's the TV thing.
Yeah, actually, we could have done an entire episode about how crazy I am that people are predicting the iPad 3 would be announced in the fall when the iPad 2 hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
Because that would be shooting your own foot. If you know for a fact that the iPad 3 is going to be announced, why would anyone go out and buy the iPad 2?
Yeah, that's true.
Heck, skip the iPad 2. Let's just go straight to 3.
Yeah. Well,
at any rate, that's a different discussion.
Yeah, and
let's
I think we'll probably skip Apple for a few weeks.
Yeah,
since we've kind of been Apple-y lately. But,
yeah. I think we're keeping the doctor away for a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this up. If you guys have any comments or questions, if you own an Apple TV and you think you have, you know, your own experiences to share, let us know. You can contact us on Facebook and Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW, or you can send us an email. That address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, and Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.